Hey there, ice bath lovers. Do you want to take your cold exposure game up a notch with some contrast therapy? Well, you should, because cold plunges and contrast therapy can lower stress, up your immunity, and even help you sleep better. It works better than just cold therapy alone. Well, now you can do that with the new Michael Phelps Chili Goat Cold Tubs by Master Spas. Whether you want to relax in a hot soak or get energized with a cold plunge, the Michael Phelps Chili Goat Cold Tub has you covered. You can easily hop out of the hot water, get in the cold water, and go back and forth. When you do that, you get better results in less time, and that's what biohacking is all about. Go to chiligoattubs.com, use promo code DAVE500, and you can save $500 on any Chili Goat cold tub. I have one in my backyard. That's chiligoattubs.com, promo code DAVE500.
Bulletproof Radio, a state of high performance.
You're listening to Bulletproof Radio with Dave Asprey. Today's cool fact of the day is that people with diabetes are actually hacking their own devices because a woman got kind of pissed off that the manufacturer of her continuous glucose monitor didn't have an alarm to wake her up when her blood sugar was crashing at night so she could fix it. So she hacked it. She actually created something called OpenAPS, which is called the Open Artificial Pancreas System Project, and decided she didn't want to wait for FDA approval or a long manufacturing process. It can actually take many years to do a full medical device like that. She decided to just open source it so you can get data from your own continuous glucose monitor and put it in a little computer like a Raspberry Pi, which costs about $50, and it'll change commands going into your insulin pump so that you can have different insulin rates. How cool is that? So we're actually hacking our own biology and not relying on a permission slip from some regulatory body or even from a doctor in order to do that. This is the future of having control of your own biology, and it's particularly cool. And if none of that made any sense to you, because this is your first episode of Bulletproof Radio, I'm just going to break that down for you. What's going on there is a continuous glucose monitor is a little thing that you wear for 2 weeks. I actually wore one. I was on Dr. Oz actually wearing it. I had like a bionic arm. I was wearing like a monitoring ring that monitored my health. And on the same arm, I had a disc about the size of a quarter on the back of my arm. And for 2 weeks, it told me anytime I wanted to know what my blood sugar was so I could see how I was responding to meals. And I've been doing stuff like that for many years, sticking my fingers years and years ago, the way diabetics do. Not because I'm diabetic, but because if you want to live a long time, you want to make sure that you control your blood sugar. And one of the ways you can do that is you can have more muscle mass, or you can exercise regularly, you can eat less sugar, don't eat a lot of carbs, and in fact, too much protein even, or too much whey protein or milk protein isolate, which is real popular in some of the low-carb stuff out there, actually raises your insulin, which is not what you want to do. So I just thought it was kind of cool, though. Someone out there directly took control of her own health and then shared it with other people rather than waiting for someone else to do it for them. So that's why that's a cool fact today, because it's cool.
Everyone's talking about red light therapy beds, and for good reason. There's a company called ARRC LED that's building an entirely new class of LED devices. ARRC LED beds integrate proprietary scanning technology and frequency protocols to shape the delivery of 6 different wavelengths in dose-optimized photobiomodulation. Yes, that's a lot of words. What it is, though, is that photobiomodulation improves the underlying energetics of the cells in your body. And those changes can benefit nearly every tissue and organ and system in your body. You change your cells and you change your life. For more information, visit ARRCLED.com.
As we get into the show, today's promo for Bulletproof stuff, because after all, I am CEO of Bulletproof, in addition to your host today. And I'm going to talk about the stuff that works. If you haven't seen Unfair Advantage, this is a whole body broad spectrum enhancer. And specifically, it's a cognitive enhancer. And it works differently than most of the things on the market. If you go to Whole Foods, for instance, you can pick up like one of 25 different things that'll raise your acetylcholine levels. And if you're at the right age and you have the right brain, that's going to work for you. But those oftentimes can backfire with jaw tension if you get too much of those things. In fact, that's a problem for me. What this does is it goes down a level and just says, look, you need to blow your energy up so you have energy throughout the body by making the cells manufacture energy better, the way you read in Headstrong. So Unfair Advantage comes in this cool little thing. If you're watching on YouTube, by the way, bulletproof.com/YouTube will take you right to the channel. And it comes with little ampules. You can keep it in your pocket. I do two of these before I work out. And anytime when I go on stage. Like a little while ago, I was just on Tony Robbins' main stage in front of 15,000 people. I took 4 Unfair Advantages and 4 Keto Primes, another one of our products, as well as a cup of Bulletproof Coffee. And I don't think my feet ever hit the floor. I don't know. I was kind of lit up in the best possible way. That was one of the best public talks I've ever given. Just, you know, standing ovation, and a few people cried. Bam. Like, you know, you reached them. So I know that I am more when I have more energy. And when your body has more energy, your brain will feel it first, because you have the most energy producing cells in the brain. When you have a dip in your energy, you're going to feel it first in your brain. You get forgetful, you get foggy, you get cravings, you get irritable. Well, check out Unfair Advantage. It tastes good. You squeeze a little thing under your tongue. It's portable, and it's totally rocked my world. It's a real powerful thing. Just go to bulletproof.com and look for Unfair Advantage. But in the meantime, I'm going to talk to you a couple guys who are disrupting exercise. A lot of people ask, you know, Dave, how come you're so buff? Okay, they don't really ask that, except all the girls. Okay, they don't ask that either. I'm married. Come on. So what they do say is, though, Dave, like, you put on some muscle, like, you're looking better now than you did a few years ago. And I'd like to say it's just from exercise, but like, look, all the research in Headstrong, I've had stem cells taken out of my butt and put in my face on Facebook Live, so I've been really secret about that one. But I do everything possible in my quest to live to 180, and one of those things is getting the best possible exercise and not spending like 16 hours a day exercising, because that also is wear and tear, and I got stuff to do. Like, I'm a dad, I'm a husband, I'm a New York Times author, I'm a podcaster. Oh, and I have this little company to run that just raised like $30 million in venture funding. So I'm loaded with stuff to do. So every minute of my day counts, because every minute I waste exercising is a minute I don't get to play with my kids. And I mean that very seriously. So I've got a couple guys here who have really cracked the code on putting muscle on quickly without spending hours and hours in the gym. And if you love spending hours in the gym, that's what you want to do. That's cool. And like there's nothing wrong with that. But for a lot of us, it's like, how do we get the benefits? So the guys I'm talking about here are Mark Alexander and Mike Polano from a company called ARX. And Mark, hey Mark, say hi so they know your voice.
Yes, hello, Mark here.
All right. So Mark is the founder of several different companies in the health field, including ARX, a company called Efficient Exercise. And you've probably heard of Paleo FX, the conference. This is the man who started Paleo FX.
One of them.
One of them. That's a fair point. And as the CEO of ARX, he's basically driving this idea that, look, what if we got the right signal into our body to cause it to adapt most rapidly, which is totally biohacking. And he's been at how many Bulletproof conferences now? Three?
This will be our fourth one coming up.
Yeah. So October 13th through 15th in 2017 is the fifth one. Expecting about 3,000 people. It was 100 people 4 years ago, believe it or not. Like unbelievable. And it's just because people are like, wait, like I don't want to be healthy. Like, I want more. So you've been with us almost since the beginning. You've also heard Mark before on an earlier Bulletproof podcast, where at PLFX, we had a demo of an older version of the ARX. I've got a newer version here at Bulletproof Labs in my house. And ARX is a computer-driven workout technology. So instead of fighting gravity and using heavy weights and things like ropes or something, which are actually kind of cool, you can fight a computer. And the change to what it does to your body is amazing. And in addition to Mark here in Bulletproof Studios on Vancouver Island, we've got Mike Polano. Say hi.
Hello, everybody.
All right, now you've got his voice. And he's the product manager from ARX. So I'm going to go deep, ask some questions about why this matters, what it is. And what's in it for you listening to this is you're going to learn some things about, even if you're not using ARX at your local gym, it may not even be available yet. You can certainly ask for it, but you'll learn some things about exercise physiology that helps you understand how your body builds muscle. And I think that's going to be useful for everyone, because maybe you can shave a few minutes off your workout, or maybe you don't shave a few minutes off, you just put on more muscle, or you have better bones. So there's a lot to understand about the way our bodies build muscle. I think we're going to dig into a lot of that here. All right, guys, officially welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Dave.
Was that like a really long-winded introduction for you?
No, that's perfect.
Did great.
All right. Did I miss any important points? All right, you guys are both Austinites.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, well.
Yeah. Born and raised in Chicago, but live in Austin now, yeah.
All right, and you were born in Austin?
I've been in Texas all my life, but in Austin all my University and professional career, yeah.
So you know I grew up in New Mexico, right?
Okay.
And there's a little bit of rivalry here because you Texans come over to New Mexico and you use our ski slopes in your big cars with your big hats. What's up with that?
Yeah, well, you got to start there and then you work your way up to Colorado,
I think I'm going to tell one of my most favorite jokes here that has nothing to do with biohacking.
Perfect.
But it's awesome, and it's only a little bit rude. All right, and I apologize in advance to all the people I'm making fun of right now. So there's a bar in Santa Fe, and there's a New Mexican sitting down, and next to him there's a Texan, and next to him there's a Californian. And the Texan says, "I'll have a shot of tequila, please." And he says it in even more of a Texas accent, which you don't have, of course. So he drinks it, and he throws his glass on the floor and says, "In Texas, we got so much tequila, we never drink from the same glass twice." And the Californian's like, "Oh, well, I'm from Silicon Valley, and I'll have the Merlot." And, of course, he drinks his red wine and goes, "In California, we've got so much red wine, we never drink from the same glass twice." And he throws it on the floor, and the New Mexican looks at them both, and he finishes his beer, and he pulls out a gun, and he shoots both of them, and he says, "In New Mexico, we've got so many Texans and Californians, we never drink with the same ones twice." All right.
There you go.
Now, of course, I've been in California for much of my life, too, so I'm only making fun of myself here, but hey. You didn't laugh.
I'm from Illinois, so
I'm not part of this.
I don't have any good Chicago jokes. Yeah. I'm afraid of Chicago jokes because they kill you. Okay, there. Now I got my Chicago joke.
The percentage of lead in the air in Chicago is horrendous.
All right. Now I've soundly offended people from only four states.
Yeah, no.
What other states are left?
Yeah.
Hopefully that was a great interlude on Bulletproof Radio that improved the quality of your life, because humor changes heart rate variability, which makes you live longer. Yeah, yeah.
Let's do it.
That.
Keep the jokes coming, Dave. Yeah. Keep them coming.
That's probably the only joke I've told on Bulletproof Radio, but it's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about what the heck is ARX really? I gave it a brief intro, but why?
Yeah, well, I mean, I can give you a little bit of history and background, and Mike can definitely dive into the specifics. I grew up around exercise. I had a much more low-tech version of a barn-style gym in my backyard in the 70s and 80s. And my father's a retired internist, was always an exercise as medicine kind of guy. And so I grew up, pictures to verify, literally lifting weights in diapers. So I was in there. We just ran your son through a little bit of a workout. You can in the right manner, lift weights very young. Yeah.
So you still lift weights in diapers, is what you're saying?
Yes, sometimes I need it.
It gets
too many
work.
Bulletproof right before the workout.
It's a little awkward in the office every once in a while, but it's not bad.
Mark's in diapers again.
He's blushing.
Yeah. It means we're going on the right track. Blushing because of, we're all feeling pretty good right now. Yeah. But so anyway, fast forward a bit, and you know, I've always had kind of a historical context and, I guess, reverence, if you will. In some ways, there's truly nothing new under the sun. And so I've always studied exercise history and physical culture. My faculty advisors have now started at the University of Texas in Austin, the Stark Center for Physical Culture.
Oh, so, cool.
Yeah, and I think maybe you were there at the first PaleoFX when we held it there.
I totally remember that. I love Austin. Like, it's really hard to get to, but I'm there like three or four times a year, though.
Yeah.
And, you know, Whole Foods headquarters is there. I interviewed John Mackey there. It's one of my favorite cities.
So. Yeah. Well, yeah. So it's a great place to visit Austin, but also, you know, if you're physical culture buff.
Stark Center is well known. And so for people who don't know what Stark Center is.
Yeah. So Joe Weider, when he was still alive, funded this. Again, Jan and Terry have always been physical culture historians, and when I was at UT, their office was like a cave of a place, and it had all sorts of implements and books and all sorts of neat stuff. But anyway, as I was coming up thinking I knew everything, as most young adults do, it gave me a good reverence for where I stood and where my ideas stood in terms of physical culture. And so again, you know, we always get asked about the barbell, and is that a bad tool? Well, no, it's just ineffective and inefficient. There are inefficiencies, and so that's why really the pain points, if you will, of where ARX came about, specifically if we hone in on eccentric training and eccentric portion of the range of motion. And so, again, for your viewers that are watching, they can see this, but I'll try to describe this a little bit better. So take a barbell bench press. Most people know what that is. So as you're lowering the weight towards your chest, you can actually produce a lot more force, maybe even 2-to-1, than what you can lift off of your chest. And so what we wanted to do was maximize the known benefits of eccentric training. In other words, when the bar is lowering, or the negative in gym terms, we wanted to be able to have a tool that maximized that. And then what we also discovered is, well, if we're maximizing the eccentric force, we should maximize the concentric force, and we should maximize the entire stimulus.
So basically, concentric is when you're pushing it away from you in a chest press.
In this example,
eccentric is when basically the bar is falling towards you and you're slowly resisting.
Yeah,
and they do different things to your muscle, right?
Yeah, and in the gym, oftentimes the eccentric feels kind of like rest. It's not that hard because you're so much stronger in that phase of the repetition. You're absolutely right. So with resistance exercise, you want to make sure you get the muscle damage to produce the micro traumas, produce hypertrophy or muscle growth. You want to also make sure that you get a bit of metabolic stress, which again, this has been debunked, and Doug McGuff has been an advocate for this. Our bodies can't really think in terms of aerobic, anaerobic, and the systems just work as a whole. They don't work in isolation. So the way that we promote resistance exercise is that it should have a metabolic effect. You should be a little winded when you're done. So then you want to adapt. Your system should adapt. Your mitochondrial function should improve. There's a lot of neat things that happen, but I guess in kind of staying with what ARX is for just a minute here, I guess Mike could kind of describe the experience a bit more and kind of where ARX is today.
Yeah, so if you're talking in specifically about the positive and the negative and how we're optimizing it, right? So it should be stated that ARX doesn't use weights. So it's a motor-driven system and a computer-controlled motor-driven system that will basically give you the exact amount of resistance that you're capable of and nothing more in the full range of motion.
So if you were to think about this in terms of weights, and it truly isn't weights because weights are affected by gravity, and your body senses that gravity is in the system and then it starts to hold back. But if you imagine a little robot that's constantly adding or subtracting little plates every 100,000th of a second, just to make sure you have exactly as much as you can lift anywhere on the curve. Yeah. The earliest version of this was the old 24, or I guess the old Nautilus machines, where instead of a round thing, they would have like an egg-shaped thing, which was huge innovation.
Yeah. I mean, so Arthur Jones and Nautilus, and again, I'm a history buff, and grew up, with the Nautilus gyms being an influence on my world. There was an attempt to, we know that resistance in theory should not be linear, but a barbell at 225 is a barbell at 225. So the CAM was an attempt to adapt that resistance curve. It works for one person and it works for one given time, but it doesn't account for fatigue. Doesn't account for individual differences, limb length, things like that. So it was a move forward, but honestly, we haven't seen, in my humble opinion here, a lot of progressive thought towards resistance exercise. I think Kenneth Cooper and the aerobics craze kind of just got everyone, making fancy treadmills. Hopefully we're going to shift that paradigm back here. So.
Did you ever own like a man leotard?
No.
Good. I was hoping you were going to say no.
Tank tops, maybe.
There we go.
It's hot in Texas. But
there was a time in the 80s, jazzercise. I used to go to jazzercise with my parents when I was like 14. it was ridiculous. Leg warmers, the whole thing. Yeah. And that wasn't terribly effective, but it does do something. What does it do when you do cardio like that? You're jumping around.
Well, I mean, unfortunately for, and I live in Austin, so we see tons of runners. And with efficient exercise, we work with most runners, mostly in corrective fashion. Get the crap that's not working well working better, and then get them stronger so they don't get injured. So I'm a little biased here, but I think what it does is it, unfortunately, makes people overuse certain muscles and then creates imbalances and then ultimately gets them hurt, and then they think, well, I can't exercise.
Well, you're thinking of running, but I'm taking jazzercise because jazzercise is the most ridiculous thing. If you guys don't know what jazzercise is, like Google something from the 80s, and it's like a bunch of people with like 80s hair and like leotards and leg warmers and wrist warmers. Yeah. And like,
Mike will demonstrate right now.
Yeah. And they're like jumping around, but so at least it's not all a repetitious like step, running.
Yeah.
So even something like that, though, in terms of just physiologically, what is cardio with mixed motions? What's that going to do for you if you're like saying you're doing an hour of raising your heart rate kind of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, there are some cardiorespiratory benefits if done properly and not hurting yourself. So let's just assume, and it's Jazzercise is done in a vacuum. There could be benefits, to Jazzercise. So I'm not here to, again, kind of like the barbell, I'm not here to completely knock
it. No, I'm not asking you to. I'm looking, so people are listening, like they may be doing like some form of like aerobic training.
Yeah.
And
well, I would say move towards an interval basis. So instead of just steady state, think I have to do it for an hour, I've got to log this many miles, challenge yourself more in an interval fashion. So go more high intensity with rest periods. And I would say that, you know, Tabata is kind of the known one, but any protocol similar to that, I would say so for most people.
Define the Tabata protocol for people who...
Well, I mean, it's a rest work ratio where you're trying to exert at a high intensity level and then rest. And you know, if you're doing 15 seconds on, then you would take a minute off rinse and repeat.
And recover.
Yeah.
And the difference there from the research that I was doing, actually, this was more in the Bulletproof Diet thing before Headstrong, mm-hmm. Although I recommend interval training in Headstrong specifically for mitochondria, is that there's something called the ejection fraction in your heart, which is in one heartbeat, how much blood can you move? Mm-hmm. And if you teach your body to always run or to always do like high, even if it's very higher intensity, but long times, your heart's like, oh, I'll just raise my heart rate and like spit little bits of blood. But the people who are longest lived and most powerful are the ones who can go from normal heartbeat to in one pump, like forcing a lot of blood through. And that's actually the ability to be variable in that. And you get that from lifting heavy things, and you get that from sprinting. And then in Headstrong, the new innovation there, which came from John Gray, surprisingly, the Mars Venus guy, who's is a good friend. Also, a very knowledgeable biology guy. He's like, look, do your sprint and lay on your back, just like we do in CrossFit, right? And the lay on your back has a different effect for recovery. So it's, you know, sprint, and then people think you're having a heart attack in the park.
Old concrete floor is excellent.
Yeah. And here's a trick. What you can do, you do your sprint and make sure that when you're done sprinting, when you like lay down on the ground, do it in front of an attractive member of the opposite sex in case they try to give you CPR. Like, because... You know,
just in case.
I've been looking for a gym hack.
Right. Thank you. Mike usually goes with a puppy, but you know.
But now. Some gyms don't allow it.
So yeah, the puppy workout.
I'm good. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Now, so that's kind of the cardio side of things. And I'm just asking that because you're an expert in the field. But also now you look at the innovations that have happened there. It's like people are learning, okay, go ahead and sprint. When it comes to something like hunting, we used to hunt with spears, and you can still do that, but you also could like hunt with a gun, right? And it might get you more meat in less time. Mm-hmm. And you could say, well, that's cheating. Yes, it's cheating. Yeah. It's called efficiency.
It's an advancement.
You run another company called Efficient Exercise. Yeah. And that's what we're here to do. That's what this episode is about, is like, how are you going to drive efficiency?
Yeah.
And so the first step was we went from barbells, which still have, like there's kettlebells, barbells, they're good.
They're a good tool. Yeah.
We went from that to... maybe even from barbells to kettlebells was an innovation. And then we went to these machines that had a round cam. So no matter where you were lifting, it was always the same amount of force up and down. Then they said, oh, let's make this egg-shaped elliptical cam, which was a huge thing, like changed bodybuilding. Yeah. Yeah. My earliest memory of that, by the way, when I was a kid, I was overweight. And so my parents, I played soccer for 13 years. I had a bike and I'd ride sometimes 20 miles a day. I just couldn't lose the weight, like no matter what I did. So I would wake up with my dad at 5 in the morning, which biologically is kryptonite for me.
Yeah,
like
for
I'm
a
not
teenager
a
teenager too, especially. But
So my earliest memories: I'm 12. I'm going to go work out with my dad. So I go to work out in the morning, and I completely Ralph all over the floor at the workout place in Albuquerque there, because like it was just not the right thing for me. Yeah. So that's my earliest workout. I'm traumatized. All right. But even then, it was all about okay. Lift fast and then come down slow and with the elliptical cam. And that was like a pretty big thing.
But then,
of course, we were trying to do, 50 reps and things like that.
Yeah.
With the ARX machine, given that instead of relying on me to know what to do and all that stuff, with ARX, instead of that elliptical cam, you've got a computer that will just change on a second-by-second basis. So all of the hardware that made that happen is gone, and it's moved into software.
Correct. Right? Yeah. So we have... as we unearth the potential for ARX, we now realize we're a technology company. We are now in the exercise world, but we're a technology company. We have developed systems that will adapt to the user. So it doesn't matter if you're on the machine, if I'm on the machine, if Mike's on the machine, the system will adapt to the user. Somewhat, if you were thinking about how could I design something that actually worked effectively and efficiently, you would have the system adapt to the user, not have it the other way around. So
one of the big things, this is going to sound ridiculous, but how much time do you spend at the gym taking plates off of bars and putting them back on?
Yeah.
Okay, that is time you don't get back. Like when you're on your deathbed, like me, maybe 180 or so, maybe even way past that,
yeah.
And you're like, man, when I look back at my life, I'm really happy for all the time I spent taking things. Like, no, this is wasted effort,
yeah.
Right? And maybe bring a couple of buddies with you and make them do it. But same thing, you have to do it for them. Like you don't win. No one wins on that. Yeah. So now we've got a computer that just does it. And we just had Alan, he turns 8 in a couple of days.
Yeah.
We just had him down there. So he's, you know, an amazingly ripped kid,
yeah,
just
from, focused. And
He likes to exercise. You know, just the kind of like, oh, I'll climb a rope, I'll climb a tree. Not, yeah. I don't have on a regimen at all.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But he was doing a chest press, and his peak was 203 pounds, and my wife was 217. By the way, I think she was holding back. But anyway, I mean, I was blown away because you would never put a 200-pound bar on a kid; it would kill them.
Yeah.
Like literally, it could, and it would cause damage. So it wasn't that he lifted that much. It was that at one point in the curve, he was able to exert that much.
For a microsecond, that there was a peak there. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so it's very different. There is no way to get that kind of exercise with gravity that I'm aware of.
System.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And that's what I want listeners to understand here.
Yeah.
Now, walk me through, Mike. Like, okay, a person sits down on the machine. How does this work? Like, how does the algorithm work? Okay, so I'm sitting there, I want to do a chest press, and there's a bunch of other exercises, leg presses and things like that you can do. Okay, you sit down. How does the machine know what to do?
Yeah, so it is, again, it's the way we always describe it is, in a weight world, it's you versus the weight, right? If you lift 100 pounds, you need to lower 100 pounds because it wants to go to the center of the earth whether or not your shoulder feels capable of holding it above your head or not. With ARX, it's not a weight. So it's you versus this motor-driven system. So it's in the Omni, it's a couple handles that are in front of you, right, doing a chest press that are moving back at a constant rate of speed. And you're trying to get in the way of it, right? Slow the motor down or slow the machine from doing what it wants to do. You're always going to lose. But the actual motor, the system, doesn't do anything to you like a weight would. If you let go, the number goes to 0 on the screen. The handles may keep moving, but nothing happens to you, right? So you're fighting this motor-driven system, creating your own resistance against it. And with that comes a lot of inherent safety because now you can't go above what you're capable of, right? There's no external force acting on you. And so as you fatigue, it just keeps matching you one for one. So this is why we always say linebackers or grandmas, right, can use ARX. Same machine, one after the other, because it's whatever that person, that linebacker, is capable of, the machine can adapt and match them. And whatever that grandma is capable of, the machine can adapt and match them.
So it's very safe. Yeah. My grandma actually is a linebacker, so is it going to work for her?
Then she's a two-for-one.
Yeah.
She's actually an outlier.
She's an outlier.
She's actually a nuclear engineer. That's true. Right. She's not a linebacker. It never was. Yeah. That's the opposite of what she'd be. Yeah.
It matches you with whatever you have the capability of from rep 1 to rep 20.
She's 96. I mean, can I really put a 96-year-old on the ARX? Like, is it going to benefit them?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah. I mean, the program and protocol would look a little bit different, and of course, the system will adapt to her.
A little bit less weight.
Yeah.
Her numbers will be lower than the linebacker would be.
Okay.
Yeah. But there are, I mean, yeah, there. I do like people to know, doesn't matter what age you are, you can start. If you haven't, And that holds true for resistance exercise if done properly across the board. So,
all right. So let's talk about the benefits of resistance exercise at different ages. Are you guys up for that? And so you could turn this on with ARX, and it's got a good safety profile. I'd feel better putting my grandmother on the ARX
than putting a bar on her back.
Yeah, like you would never do that because she just wouldn't do it because she's like, I don't like exercise. But okay, so let's start. Actually, start in reverse age. All right, so you're 80 plus. Mm-hmm. What is resistance exercise going to do for you?
Well, and just a quick step back, what I've observed with working with people for almost 20 years through efficient exercise, and I haven't worked with clients recently because of ARX, but there's a generational difference in terms of how they view exercise. So if we're starting with the silent generation and earlier, sorry, I can't remember what the earlier generation is called, but
old.
Yeah, old. Yeah, very old by now.
Nothing wrong with being 100. Old. I plan to be old myself.
And Art Devaney, got to hang out with him at PaleoFX, and I mean, he's 80 and thinks he's in middle age, you know, and that's great. I mean, because eccentric training and exercise in particular, but he utilizes resistance exercise all the time. So I think that first off, just get over the fact that I see them, they think, well, I've done my hard work, therefore I don't need to exercise. It's not entirely true. If you want to continue to live, get off the couch and be mobile, you should exercise. And I would say that resistance exercise is probably where everyone should start. I'm biased here, but I think it should be the foundation for everyone.
A former long distance cyclist who was fat the whole time, I have to agree with you.
Okay, well, good. Well,
lifting heavy things kind of matters.
Yeah, I know. But and again, just trying to. So if we're talking about the older generation, let's call it 70 and plus, bone mineral density is important. A fall will contribute to mortality and death. Yeah. And it's sad because that can be prevented. And so you just want to move better. And if you ever fall, you don't want to get hurt. So okay. Those are a couple simple things.
So if you're over 80 now, is it public how many ARXs are out there?
Mike would have a better.
Are you guys are you willing to talk about that?
I mean, we're in the hundreds of units out there. So thousands and tens of thousands potentially of people using it now. So at
this point, if someone's like, I want to try this new tech, you're gonna have to find like a higher end trainer who has it in their facility for the most part.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, and I want to make sure that
we can talk about the facility types here in a minute. Yeah. But okay. Yeah.
I want to make sure that everyone listening just understands like resistance training.
Yes.
Resistance training, however you get it. Is going to be really beneficial, and this is a faster and better way.
Safer, more efficient, more efficient. Yeah,
I have dusty kettlebells downstairs, because I also have an ARX on site, and this is designed for primarily people to use in a facility, right? This isn't a home device unless you're in a particularly wealthy home gym category.
Yeah, I was going to say, there are definitely people that have them in their homes and. With our latest software upgrades, our automatic mode, which is a self-driving feature for ARX, it's perfect for the home. I've been blessed to have one in my home for many years. And just like you, I'm a husband, I'm a dad, I'm these things first. Oh, and then I'm an entrepreneur. I run a company. And so to me, that has been a lifesaver. So if anyone is incredibly busy, yes, you can put ARX in your home. It comes at a cost, but I mean...
All right.
But you absolutely could. So,
So for people listening going, all right, I'm interested, you got to find someone who has one nearby. Yeah. Or you can go to the gym and you can do a machine. You can do this with barbells, kettlebells, body weight, whatever. But the whole point here is resistance exercise is important. Yeah. And there's various levels of efficiency that you can drive out of this. Yeah. All right. So we were talking about older and putting an older person on there, 80 plus. Yeah. All right, so now you're the 60 to 80 time zone. So you're still relatively spry, but you're probably feeling this. What is resistance exercise, ARX or not? Like, what's that going to do for you?
Yeah, so in kind of, let's call it the baby boomers, these are people that I see, they still know exercise is good, and they've probably been a little tarnished, similar to Generation X, of the aerobic bias in exercise. So I think the first thought is exercise equals I'm going to go running. So break that. We're still talking about resistance exercise. And I would say anyone over 50, especially females, Caucasian females over 50, should really be concerned about bone mineral density, especially smaller frame. So again, the bone mineral density is still there. Let's keep up with your grandkids. Your grandkids are bundles of energy. And in order to keep up with them, you need to be mobile. You need to be strong. And your body has to be able to adapt to getting to low places and getting back to high places and things like that.
So resistance exercise is going to drive your bone density more than cardio.
Oh, absolutely. Right. It's really you have to load the skeletal muscle system in order to get the bone mineral density. And you should do it in a way that's safe. So, and calculated, quantified.
So if you're a baby boomer like my parents, and you're thinking, I don't really like exercise, here's the deal. It probably does suck to go lift weights every day. You may just really get into it. There are people who do that. In fact, you might need to recover, though, occasionally if you're lifting weights every day. I found even when I was young, when I was fat, I was doing 45 minutes of cardio, 45 minutes of weights, 6 days a week. And I did that for 18 months, and I still weighed 300 pounds. I could max out all the machines, and I was still fat, and it wasn't cool. So a lot of times in that age range, at least, you know, my parents, it's like, yeah, I don't really like exercise. Mm-hmm. But we're talking with an ARX kind of setup, 15 minutes once a week.
Yeah.
Okay, and if you were, and maybe twice a week if you really want to, but in that age range, once, is that enough per week?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, for you know, let's call it the majority of the health benefits and fighting against the biomarkers of aging, you really can, with 15 to 20 minutes a week, get the fruit of that labor, if you will. So.
And I think Doug McGuff, who's a physician who's been on Bulletproof Radio and was at the first Paleo FX and has spoken at the Bulletproof Conference as well, I think.
Yeah.
He was one of the first physicians to really drive this notion into the public that says brief amounts of resistance exercise. So all of a sudden it goes from it's a big chore to once a week, do it. And I would just tell you, get a trainer. Like, you don't have to do this yourself. And that's also a baby boomer thing. Like, I'm going to do it all myself. Come on. Like, hire someone to cut your hair.
Yeah.
Like, hire someone to help you pick up everything so you don't hurt yourself.
It's well worth the investment.
And then all the motivation that you were going to have to self-source, like, you have someone there motivating you for you, so it's less, just less cognitive, mental energy.
Yeah. Well, and studies have also shown, even if you did know everything, which no one does, just me standing over your shoulder, you'll have about a 5 to 10% improvement just because I'm standing there. I can say nothing.
Yeah.
But having someone, you know, in charge, if you will, and programming and helping you prescribe is key.
So, it's helpful. Yeah. And so that would just be advice. So if they're going for the ultimate there, I would say ARX is pretty darn incredible.
Yeah.
The next level down would be to work with the trainer, either with machines or with free weights.
Yeah.
And so that's a good recommendation.
Yeah, make sure you're moving well, you're not injured, and the trainer knows how to work around your imbalances. We all have them. But progressive program. In other words, you're probably going to lift a little bit more weight as you go.
Okay.
Progressive overload is a big principle there. And you want to do it more times than not, slowly and controlled. Similar to kind of how Doug prescribes it.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And then, let's see, I guess the final way, you could still do it at home, but you could even do push-ups, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah. Instead of just trying to pound them out, you know, maybe take your time on the way down, and then, you know, within reason, get back up. And even if you can't do a push-up, take your time on the way down, do the eccentric phase or just the lowering phase, and do that over and over. You can do that with pull-ups. If you can't do a pull-up, climb to the top and lower yourself very slowly. It's hugely beneficial for gaining strength.
It is actually ridiculous, the difference between doing 20 push-ups and doing 5 push-ups that take 30 seconds each.
Yes.
Like, you will throw muscle on. It's completely crazy.
It's true. And then, like I said, even though you're not using a tool, you're maximizing our body's response to eccentric overload. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. So now we go back in time a little bit. So you're in that 40 to 60, right?
Yeah.
You still want to look good?
Yeah. Well, we're in that stage of we're producers for our family, probably the highest income earning potential phase of your life, and you're busy. You don't have time for exercise, but you do have some extra money. So throw it at a trainer, throw it at a gym membership that you have access to, high quality trainers, hopefully, or just equipment. Studies have shown that you need to be near it. So it's either at your home or it's out, somewhere that's very close to where you live or work. So
there's different physiological benefits, though, in that age range. Like, what are you going to see differently from 40 to 60?
Yeah, the hormonal response, just like, you know, how you eat affects your hormones. And again, we don't have to go down that rabbit trail, but most of your listeners probably recognize that resistance exercise has a tremendous hormonal response.
Yeah.
And so whether you're male or female, muscle tissue is metabolic currency, and you should have it. If you don't, you're not going to be as healthy of a human.
So you raise your testosterone, normalize your estrogen levels for men and women, like that.
Yeah.
Okay. And then for people who are under 40, right? Let's say 20 to 40, because different things happen with teenagers.
Yeah.
Right. So what's the deal there?
Instead of income potential, you're probably at your health potential, if you will. You're after 20 or 25, you're kind of in a state of health decline unless you do something about it. And there's so much potential from pubescent on to, let's call it 30, 35, to where your body will respond. And you should take advantage of that. I wish I was there sometimes still. Yeah. although, look at you. I mean, it still responds. It doesn't, I mean, your biological age doesn't really matter at some point. I guess that point should be made too.
It's a fair point. Yeah. There are, you know, stages of normal hormonal growth and decline. Mitochondria become less efficient over time. Yeah. But yeah, one of the reasons I started Bulletproof, I'm like, if someone had just told me any of this when I was like 16 or 20, like the damage I did, and also just the wasted energy and time and struggling, being tired. And I did lift weights, but I did it way too often and probably entirely wrong. And I didn't recover, and I ate the wrong crap and all that stuff. So the idea here is, if you're listening, and I'll just tell you this, like, I'm 44. I turned 45 this year, and I have more energy now than I did when I was 25 because I was doing it wrong. And if you're in that age range and you want to live to 180 like I'm going to, or maybe you want to beat me, which, hey, let's race. I'm good with that. I'm going to die trying. You know what I'm saying? But
as we all
totally. But what you can do is you can stack the deck. You've got to do this when you're young, but you can stack the deck. So you're like, oh, I'm 60 and I'm completely kicking ass compared to everyone else around me because they wasted it all early. So this isn't really about prevention. It's like you get more energy right now and all this. And we're not talking going to the gym every day, although you can if you want to do that.
Yeah, if that's your thing.
Yeah, yeah. We're talking about what probably in that age range a couple times a week is usually normal.
Yeah. Usually it's just fitted in your schedule, Monday and Thursday, whatever, you know, whatever works, because usually our calendar drives our lives, whether we want it or not. Well, and same for, sorry, we're down on the younger generation. I'd say calendar still probably drives their lives too.
Yeah, that and social media.
Yeah. Right. Well, and you can compete and put it up there. And show your ARX results or show.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. And then now there are some specific things. If you're under 19 or something, under 20, what's different about weight training at that age?
You know, the amount of load and consistent loading should be monitored, and kind of what movements are done. I think there's a tendency for, especially with being a teenage boy at one point in time, overemphasizing certain muscle groups like chest. You know, you're going to do bench press all day and push-ups to finish off, and that's your workout. And so what that does over time is just be cautious, because it will create imbalances. We should probably, in general, I think, do more posterior work or more pulling or more things for the back of our body than the front of our body. But we see the front in the mirror, so that's kind of what we focus on. So.
And one of the things to just know as a guy, if you have like a nice back, you're not going to see the women looking at it, but they're going to look at it more, because you're not going to make eye contact when they're doing it. But if you ask someone who's being honest, they kind of appreciate a good back as much as they do a good chest, right?
Yeah.
And they can oogle as much as they want. Yeah. And it's like you're providing a public service with your lats.
Well, and we were talking about the social media, public service with your lats.
Not that I would have known. I was fat back then.
And we were talking about social media. I mean, even my kids, I have two teenage kids, and you know, the text neck and the bent over. I mean, they need to be rowing. They need to be doing these exercises that help with the postural support. And so if anything, just get them rowing and doing some pull-ups or chin-ups or pull-downs, something, so that they're negating that. I mean, and we all fight it because we're on computers, but I've seen some piss poor posture in young kids, and it's
if you look at that whole essentially lifespan that we've just gone through there, you have the potential with ARX to solve some global health issues.
Yeah.
Right? Like, what are you, like, if people were to do this on a weekly basis, what are the types of issues that that you think we can address?
I think that question, great question. I think there's a twofold answer here. First off, we're on a mission to democratize exercise. We want to make sure it's accessible to everyone, and specifically resistance exercise. And so those benefits are immense, but we have to do our fair share of making sure resistance exercise is accessible to the masses. That's a little difficult. But again, that's kind of thinking big. That's a big issue we want to help solve. And I think the global health issues, take diabetes. You've done some research
since
here.
Since 2012, 1 in 10 in the United States.
Yeah.
And that's just people with diabetes, not people who are approaching diabetic levels.
Yep.
So that number's higher in terms of people who are in danger.
So if you have diabetes, you should follow the American Heart Association diet, which is lots of sugar, lots of carbs, only bad fats, and lots of cardio, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Straight to your grave, yeah.
Yeah, no coconut oil for sure.
We're in a great place now because of those recommendations. Clearly by the numbers I just
clearly
said,
we can see that it's
we're in the right trend, so
Yeah.
Podcast over, we're good.
You guys clearly saw their like failed media campaign about coconut oil.
Wow.
I've never seen any backlash bigger than the one that's like, guys, you stepped in that. Like, come on.
Yeah. That was
social media for the win.
But no, I mean, so what does resistance exercise do to glucose levels? Well, you can get rid of excess sugar when done properly and kind of flush the system, if you will. So it's a metabolic restart, if you will. So we've seen the numbers of people doing ARX specifically, but also just resistance exercise, of glucose levels being under control. Even diabetics that are insulin dependent can minimize the amount of insulin that they're using.
That's pretty incredible stuff.
Yeah.
I definitely noticed when I have my continuous glucose monitor on, the things I talked about at the beginning, after a workout, you see your blood sugar drop because what's going on there? And this is like straight out of Headstrong, the book. Well, let's see. Your body's like, I think I need some energy. So it's going to call on energy stores. And your mitochondria open up and they start creating the electrical energy from food that's required to sustain that effort. And instead of, I'm just going to do like 40 reps with my 2 pound, you know, my 2 pound.
Pink
dumbbell. My pink dumbbell. Oh, look, I lifted weights, but I didn't want to get bulky. It doesn't work like that. And so by telling them, like, you know what? If you can't handle it, die. That's actually what this kind of exercise says to the mitochondria. Yeah. And when die, is these are tiny ancient bacteria inside the body. All right, good. You want to kill the weak ones because if you don't kill them, they turn into cancer. Yeah. Like it's kind of important.
Yeah, super, super important. Yeah.
All right. So you, this kind of stuff can shift it from, you know, we should all go, lift weights to maybe it takes less time and you get more benefit in the amount of time, which has a meaningful impact on.
Yeah, with time being one of the major deterrents for consistent exercise, we solved the time thing. So we've got that that one solved. Yeah.
There's something else that's driven a lot of my career, and it's called big data.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know this. I was an angel investor, one of the very first ones in the first big data company. They were called Adamark. And I have this problem. I'm like 5 to 10 years ahead of my time. I'm like, damn it. This was a while back.
Yeah.
But this was a company that was doing semi-structured data analysis in a way that is very common now, but it was the first one. And they ended up becoming a security company and getting acquired by someone or another.
Yeah, but it really happens.
But it was like, it was a small acquisition. It wasn't a successful investment because it was too early. But the tech just had me blown away. And I spoke even at the first big data conference way back in the day about health information and big data. And you're in an interesting position because ARX devices are at personal trainers and exercise facilities around. And if they're not at yours, you can probably talk with your exercise people and just be like, I think it'd be really cool to have one of these. I would pay more.
In 5 minutes, they're convinced. They realize what the benefits.
Yeah, you're like, I would pay more time to work out. I'd pay more dollars to work out less.
Yeah.
Like I'll buy my time back.
Saving you that.
And as a trainer, you're like, wait, I could get more clients per hour. Hold on. Like this might work for both of us, right?
Yeah.
And that's the big thing. But the background on this is the big data play. So now you are in a position to get the workout information and not just like how many reps at what weight, which is like, okay, that's trivial, but it's like for a man or a woman of this height and this BMI of this age at this time of day doing this kind of exercise, this is exactly how much power they could generate. Now you don't know what they drank the night before. Like you don't know the other health data.
Yeah, there's other variables.
Yeah.
Just like there would always be in any research.
Yeah. But you could probably with this data, you could figure out people are stronger at 10 a.m. than 2 p.m., let's say. I have no idea if that's true or not. I would guess it's probably true for most people, but you'll actually see trends that are invisible. I mean, fully invisible.
Yeah, and more specifically with resistance exercise, we're in a position now to be a big data source, if you will, for resistance exercise, which everyone has jumped on the biometric data train on the endurance side of things, which... I don't know how many steps really means in the whole grand scheme of things. Not much.
I can tell you. I don't know if you remember this. I was CTO of one of the wristband companies. The first one that got heart rate from the wrist.
Yeah.
It was called Basis. and Intel bought them for $100 million. Yeah. So I was not there for a huge amount of time because I was like, guys, we need heart rate variability. And they're like, no, we need steps. I'm like, steps are masturbation. I'm sorry. The number of steps you take in a day isn't very important. Yeah. And the number of calories per day.
Do you guys hear that?
Yeah. The screeching?
Yeah.
All right, that's an eagle.
I was going to say that's a predator bird. I recognize the...
bald eagle interrupting our podcast. Yeah. Sorry. That's why I live on Vancouver Island. I think the mics actually picked that up. I hope it did. Anyway, that's cool.
No, that's very cool. Yeah.
Keep going.
Yeah. We have this unearthed potential, if you will, to start recognizing trends in resistance exercise. We don't know what we don't know, but not only for the performance side of things, but... for the prescription side of things. So what is ideal? We don't know, but we can start to see those trends and start to see.
And it may change by age. It may change by gender. There's a whole mapping of resistance exercise, especially for women, for phases of the moon and monthly cycles. Yeah. Yeah. And there probably is for men too. Like we all know a full moon affects people. Yes. Yeah. And if you're out there going, full moon doesn't affect me, it's like ask any cop, any emergency room doctor, any fireman, whether the full moon matters.
Yeah, phasic training should be a part of our programming, but we don't always recognize it.
Yeah. So I'm really excited to see what happens when you have a database of millions of workouts because we can run that through machine learning algorithms and we'll know things about exercise that have never been discoverable before.
Yeah.
I'm like,
and then
that's
artificial
meaningful.
Intelligence to do the programming on the actual device itself. And we're not there yet, but we're aiming there or directionally trying to go that way. So
I think that's one of the biggest things. And this is why I moved out of, data centers and computer security into how do you get monitoring data off the human body? Because I got tired of monitoring servers and correlating information from a million servers. Yeah. It's like, what if you correlate information from a million people? Yeah. It's actually way more interesting.
Yeah.
So what's next with ARX? I mean, we just talked about the big data play. Is there any other cool secret stuff you can have like a...
Yeah. You can talk about a little bit of that, Mike.
just the biggest thing lately has been taking the trainer, who used to have to push buttons and control this motorized machine back and forth, out of the equation, and just making it a self-driving automatic system that you can just use this system by yourself. And most importantly, along that big data play is... it makes every workout exactly the way you want it, right? So we were just showing you that not only can you control how many reps it does, but you can control the speed at which it moves on the positive. Let's say you want it to go 5 seconds on the positive, but you want to over-accentuate the negative, you can make it go 10 seconds on the negative, and then repeat that time in and time again at the exact ranges of motion every time designed for you, saved in the software. That means your workouts are so much more precise than they've ever been, and that the data is more valuable than it's ever been, because we can really see granular improvements over time. And so whatever generation, as you guys were talking about, is trying to train, you could say, well, how does this type of protocol affect grandma, but how does this protocol also affect a 22-year-old football player?
Okay.
Right? So we can look at that and actually repeat it over time. So really getting the data play and the actual hardware to communicate, that's been the largest advancement for us, and it opens up a ton of doors.
Awesome. I'm not sure what else we can chat about here. Is there anything else about resistance exercise we didn't cover? Because I know I look at demographics and I know who's listening right now, and we have about an even number of men and women listening to the show. We have a lot of physicians, trainers, particularly like in Wall Street, in LA, in Silicon Valley, and things like that. And then just tons of people who do this while they're exercising, while they're doing dishes, while they're at work, or driving a lot, just all across the country. But it's cool because it's not, just a bunch of bros and it's not only yoga moms, but it's been pretty democratizing where it's like, look, controlling your own biology is really important. And I think resistance training has consistently been underrepresented in the consciousness. It's like we're on this low fat kick, and it's like, oh, low fat, but like, but what about like the role of fat? And then we're on this aerobics kick where it's like, I'm a good person, I go for a run every day, but you're like, well, whether you go for a run or not or whether you lift has nothing to do with whether you're a good person or not. First of all, like, remove that. And second of all, in terms of like bang for the buck, if someone has an hour a week to exercise, if they use it on weights versus cardio.
Yeah, yeah, you're going to have more bang for your buck. If we told you there's a magic pill, well, we kind of have it, you know, and I don't know why more people aren't recognizing it. And part of it, another, you know, kind of submission, if you will, of ours, but objective of ours, is to change the accessibility to what that venue of health looks like. Your labs concept in Santa Monica is a prime example of that. We want more of those types of facilities. We want where hopefully they're run by intelligent, well-meaning people that are trying to advance humankind, advance health, and do it in a way that, yeah, it's not bro science, as you were saying. We're having to shift the paradigm a little bit here in terms of who is operating and owning these facilities. But what we're starting to see, and Mike has seen more of them hands-on than I have, when we're doing installations, I mean, talk about some of the other aligning technologies and programs sure. they're doing.
Sure. I think with this new model that people are building, they're taking a lot of the guesswork out of just making yourself a better human. In particular with ARX, I think you said you didn't know why resistance training hasn't. It's such a great thing. We know there's so much to be gained from it, but yet so many people don't do it. Well, there's a lot of guesswork involved. There's a lot of competing information that you get from Muscle and Fitness magazine and some latest, you know, blogger guy just shows up who's got a six pack and he's telling you what to do now.
He must be right.
Yeah. Surely he's
right. The six pack comes from your plate. Right. Sorry. And I mean the plate that goes in your barbell.
Exactly.
So it just becomes this chasing our tail game that everyone plays. And eventually you just tire out and you say, you know what? I'm tired of guessing wrong in the gym. It's not working for me. Similar to how you were doing with training and doing aerobic training. At some point in time, you just give up. And that's kind of where the state of the industry is. It's this constant roller coaster of people getting excited about something, realizing that it ultimately isn't the thing that they want, or they're not actually doing it the way they're supposed to be doing it. They're guessing wrong all the time. And then they fade away, right? And so we lose motivation in it. So creating a new facility that uses technology to solve a lot of those problems for us so that we can go in, be focused about with a good intention to benefit ourselves, whether that be with exercise, whether that be with float tanks or infrared saunas or vibration therapy, neurooptimal, brain training. So what we're seeing now is that ARX affiliates, people who are taking part with our company, are also looking to add on other tools and tech, right? To make that, so exercise is what you come for, right? Because everyone agrees that you need to do it. Great, you just made that easy for me. What else can you make easy for me? I'm like, well, why don't you go stand on that vibration therapy for a little while?
Well, yeah, I guess you were saying like most of your customers have a Bulletproof Vibe, which I didn't even know till this morning.
Yeah, probably.
It fits well within the Alpha and the Omni there.
Yeah, and the Bulletproof Vibe, if you haven't seen it, it's on the Bulletproof website. It's a really high quality vibration plate that uses the frequency identified by NASA to make astronauts recover. So you stand on this, it's also written about in Headstrong, you stand on it for even 10 minutes and it vibrates you 30 times a second, wakes up your mitochondria. It's like going for a brisk walk for a long time, and you can literally do it to loosen up, get the muscles ready before or to recover after using ARX. Yeah.
People are coming
in, I thought that was cool.
And they want to use the latest and greatest, but they also want to leave feeling like they got good value for their time.
Yep.
And so those two work really well together because it's a very just apparent effect that occurs, right? And so after that, we get into some of the more deeper biohacks, if you will, and talk about light and all those kind of things. But that's the new model is, and we see this with a lot of people at the Bulletproof Conference, that whole convention center is just filled with amazing technology. And some people are like, well, ARX is great for this, but have you thought about combining it with Katsu or with NuFit electrical stimulation and starting to make the connections so that we could just be a better overall person and do it in less time. Like, that's really what everyone wants.
Some of the origination and historical contents I'm talking, or context of, you know, early 19th century or 20th century stuff was exercise was for health. And I think, unfortunately, especially with resistance exercise, we've gotten away from that. Exercise equals bodybuilding. Resistance exercise equals bodybuilding. Now, a lifestyle bodybuilder might have good biomarkers of health, not the roided up huge guys, but let's extract the health benefits again and focus on that versus just how jacked can I get or how big can I get, or, you know, these things that really have no health and probably health detriments, actually.
So, well, one of the reasons that I wrote the definition for biohacking, I didn't trademark the word when I was coming up with this, is I wanted there to be a name where, like, okay, I'm a bodybuilder, and I don't do anything else, or, you know, I'm into anti-aging, so I only eat, like, twigs. You know, the I'm going to starve myself for long periods of time, people. Right? So these are, there's no overlap when you're like, this is what I do. But what we're all really working on is that, how do you have control of your own biology? Right? And your goals may be very different. Like, you may have, like me, one of my goals is every day when I'm done with work, and like today I'm doing three podcasts, I'm recording with actually some really cool people later today. But cognitively, present
company accepted. We're not really cool.
They're not here, though. But no, I mean, just you know, I have a pretty high bar to get on Bulletproof Radio anyway. But sometimes you're like, wow, I never would have in a thousand years, you know, thought I would talk to, in this case, Shep Gordon.
Oh, yeah.
Documentary this guy's Alice Cooper's agent. But like in 5 years ago, you said, Dave, someday you're going to interview or even meet Shep Gordon and be like, what? Yeah. So I could see meeting you guys even 5 years ago. I'm like, actually, I did meet you five years ago.
I mean, seeing Rick Rubin at your conference, so that was like a highlight of mine. I mean, anyway,
so anyway, I'm just blown away by that stuff. Yeah. But it's cognitively demanding to be present for something like that. And I've got phone calls and meetings like all the rest of the day. And so one of my goals as a biohacker is, all right, on top of that, as soon as I'm done, I want to go play with my kids and not be tired and not need, I need 45 minutes, I'd have to unwind, right? And then I want to help make dinner or, you know, be with Lana. And then it's like, well, I still have some stuff I want to do. So she's going to go to bed. I won't have enough energy to work on my next book and to probably dig out from under all the emails because I've been gone for 10 days. All that stuff. My goal is energy, right? Yeah. And that's very different from the bodybuilder. Sure. And I think there's more people going for that goal, right? And especially if you're working and then commuting and then you have two young kids and you got to clean the house and, you know, just deal with all the stuff of life. That's actually the number one reason that biohacking matters.
Yeah.
And then you've got the live forever, be ripped, be lean, you know, or there's all sorts of other fringes. I want to hold my breath longer than everyone else. All of those are united by this idea of having control versus, you know, that one goal.
Yeah, take control of your health. It's there for you to own. And there's nothing holding you back but yourself, really. And I applaud your efforts
with
what you're doing. So
Well, likewise, guys, I'm grateful that you've helped me take some shortcuts here to keep my muscle mass. So what the New York Times called almost muscular. I was like, they did. I'm like,
jab.
Thanks, guys. As an anti-aging professional, I take that as a compliment because if you're too muscular, you got IGF-1 issues.
Yeah.
You're going to have some aging issues.
Again, it's the health, right? Yeah. I mean, it's all to me. The foundation is health, and so
All right, on to the final question for Bulletproof Radio. Have you guys prepared? Have you been studying?
Ooh, I don't know.
That's a good question.
So, I'm going to ask each of you separately, just so we can get this. I'm going to do two answers each, just so the show doesn't go too long.
Yeah.
All right. If someone came to you tomorrow and said, "I want to be better at everything I do, just as a human being," what are the two most important pieces of advice you have for me? What would you offer? Let's start with you, Mark, and we'll go to Mike. So,
implement proper resistance exercise, of course. ARX is a great tool to do that, but even if you don't have access,
So you're going to plug ARX?
No, I know.
I'm just giving you a hard time. No, but you're saying resistance training. You wouldn't be alone.
Implement proper resistance exercise. We talked about generational advantages and benefits. So, you know, whether you have to hire a trainer or whatever, like, just get that as part of your life and your routine. The other thing I would say would just be to, in I don't want to go deep on a diet rabbit hole, but you had said, in effect, abs are made in the kitchen, not in the gym. And, you know, we know that. But I would just say to implement a diet a la the Bulletproof diet, something along the lines where, you're going to maximize your hormone and, you're also going to most likely mitigate, the insulin peaks and valleys. And, you know, so I think that those two things, there's a lot that you could do, but resistance exercise and kind of keep your hormonal and insulin response from your diet in check.
Awesome. So yeah. Basically, exercise and food.
Yeah.
You would not be alone in saying those. It's surprising.
That's not unique or anything.
It doesn't have to be unique, but this, it's important. I want everyone who hears this to just be like, wait, like the people who are disrupting businesses, who are doing great and amazing things across a whole variety of life, what do they think about? And it's amazing the commonality there.
And I'll break a rule because I always do, but I mean, I always think in threes, but mental and spiritual health as well.
Okay.
You know, do things that are going to make sure that cognitively you're functioning well, and you know, whatever your belief system is or whatever, that you're meditating, you're praying, whatever, you get your mind and spirit right for the day. So,
All right. Yeah. So you did your three. All right. So Mike, you got three for us, or are they the same?
I'm just going to take two. Along those lines, I think just more globally, the way I think and a lot of people on our team and a lot of the people who are into ARX think is you got to check the boxes of what it means to be a human. And by that, the fundamentals are the fundamentals for a reason. So you got to drink water. Like you have to sleep. You can't hack all of those. At some point, you need to get resistance training. You need to bend bones so that you have bone mineral density. These are human things that you can't not have, right? So you got to check the box. It's kind of a thing that I have when I'm stressed out, I'm on the road, I'm noticing some kind of issue that I'm dealing with is, am I checking the boxes right now? Like I didn't sleep more than 6 hours for 4 days in a row and I'm stressed out of my mind. I'm not checking the box, right? So that's kind of a personal slogan that I have. And I think Headstrong does a great job of explaining what those fundamentals are and then how to really focus in on them, and resistance training and mind health and all of those things are checking the box. And in the process of doing that and reminding yourself of that, the second thing is to pay attention. Just pay attention to some of the things that are happening in your environment, that are happening to you on a daily basis, that are happening in your relationships around you. They all play a role in allowing you or not allowing you to check your box of what it is to be a human. And those two things together on repeat forever until you don't exist on this world is the way that I think about things. And you're always changing. So you don't, what you know today or what you are today might not be what it is in a month or a year if you decide to start a company. And you got to keep paying attention and you got to keep checking the boxes. So check the boxes and pay attention.
Love it. All right, guys, thanks for being on Bulletproof Radio.
It was awesome.
It was great to be here.
If you liked today's episode, there's a couple things you could do. One of them is go to iTunes and give us a 5-star rating. That really helps other people find the show, and we've got more than 1,000, and I'm incredibly grateful for that. And there's something else you can do. If Bulletproof Diet or Headstrong or just all this knowledge, more than 450 episodes over the last few years, has been helpful for you, would you go to Amazon? Go to the Headstrong book and leave a review. It'll literally take you maybe 20, 30 seconds. Leave a little 5-star review if you think the book's earned that. Tell people what's good about it. That helps other people discover the book. And I read all those reviews. Like if you really want to just personally say thanks, you might get a chance to meet me in person and say thanks or say hi. And I'm always happy to hear that. But I don't get to meet that many people because I'm just one person. But if you go to Amazon, it spreads the love in a really helpful and amazing way. So I really appreciate it if you just leave a quick review. Have an awesome day.
The Human Upgrade, formerly Bulletproof Radio, was created and is hosted by Dave Asprey. The information contained in this podcast is provided for informational purposes only and is not intended for the purposes of diagnosing, treating, curing, or preventing any disease. Before using any products referenced on the podcast, consult with your healthcare provider, carefully read all labels, and heed all directions and cautions that accompany the products. Information found or received through the podcast should not be used in place of a consultation or advice from a healthcare provider. If you suspect you have a medical problem or should you have any healthcare questions, please promptly call or see your healthcare provider. This podcast, including Dave Asprey and the producers, disclaim responsibility for any possible adverse effects from the use of information contained herein. Opinions of guests are their own, and this podcast does not endorse or accept responsibility for statements made by guests. This podcast does not make any representations or warranties about guest qualifications or credibility. This podcast may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products or services. Individuals on this podcast may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to herein. This podcast is owned by Bulletproof Media.